This morning, I greet y'all in the name of the one who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. He has blessed us way more than we deserve. This morning, I want to share three words, and I want to talk in reference to these three words, and that is truth, trust, and blessing, and in that order. And I'll explain more as we go on. But as I was thinking of what to share this morning, it seems this week I just heard a lot of talk. You know, the Republican Convention was going on, and those of y'all might have watched that and seen the different people speaking and so on, but my mind went to surviving in these times, in these days that we're living in. How can we cope? How can we manage to survive, and even more than survive, but rejoice? Because our redemption is drawing near. We want to look at grasping what truth is. We want to look at trusting fully, and then we want to look at always blessing. And there's a lot of fear all around us. And Mark shared last Sunday, those of you remember, what did he share about? What was his subject? Hey, y'all did good. Gave you a little hint, didn't I? There was four things, and I'm not sure if it was exactly in this order that he gave them in this order, but I'm not sure if statistics would show that they came in this order or not. But there was four things that we fear. One was fear of failure. The one was fear of death. The next one was fear of the unknown. And the other one was a fear of losing our freedom. And this morning, as I share, that's kind of what I want to focus on, is the fear of the unknown, which is kind of what we're facing today in today's time. And then the fear of losing our freedom, of losing what we have as Americans, as we've known our freedoms to be, and that they seem to be fast eroding. And as I was studying and seeking God to know what is it that He wants me to share, and as I felt God directing me, and I got my sermon ready, then I started looking at the Sunday school lesson, and it's like, hello, verses 22 through 25 is exactly what I'm preaching about today. And I was like, well, thank you, Lord. I'm glad I didn't look at the Sunday school lesson before, because, again, it was a confirmation to me that what God was wanting to say through the message this morning. Well, first of all, we want to talk about truth. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. Or through me. That is the end of the discussion. And in today's culture, all around us, we hear people talking about what is truth. And people are out looking for truth. They keep seeking and searching for truth. And brothers and sisters, we have it right here. We have what is truth. And we cannot start anywhere else but at the root foundation of what truth is, and that is through Jesus Christ. Anything other than that is only a false imitation, substitute of what truth really is. And in John 8:31, and Dwayne referred to this scripture the other week when he preached, said, to the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, and I believe this applies to us too, very much, but it says that Jesus was speaking specifically to the Jews in this passage. But he says, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. And that's what each one of us wants to be as believers. We want to be a true disciple of Jesus Christ. Then the next verse, verse 32, John 8:32, it says, then you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So if we can do a little bit of deduction here this morning, we can say that if you don't apply verse 31 to your life, if people out in the world don't apply the Bible, John chapter 8, verse 31, to their life, everything else is futile. Everything else is basically worthless. You might as well just go ahead and live your life the way you want to live it and do what you want to do, because that's going to do you about as much good as you seeking the truth apart from Jesus Christ. And in these days of uncertainty, these days of the fear of the unknown, these days of fearing of losing our freedom, more so than ever, brothers and sisters, we have to be convinced of what the truth is. We have to be convinced that this, what we stand on, this Word of God, this man called Jesus, that He is who He said He was, and that He will do what He said He will do. That is paramount. That is our foundation. Then and only then can we know the truth, and the truth will set us free. I've been reading in this book, it's called How Big Is Your God? And in there, and I didn't bring the book this morning, but I'll relate a little bit to you just as I can remember it. But he made one comment about your conscience, and that each one of us, God has created us with a conscience. And you've heard say how people would say, let your conscience be your guide. How many of you have heard that? How many of you have not heard that? How many of you weren't listening? We have heard, let your conscience be your guide. Okay, how many of you believe that? Two of you. Okay, you're scared. That is a true statement, by the way. But it has to be qualified. That is a very wrong thing to allow yourself to do, is to follow your conscience. But it can be a very true statement, as long as you condition your conscience to what is right. Your conscience can be conditioned. The Bible says that it talks about people having their conscience seared with a hot iron. And I believe in there that they still have a conscience, but it's misguided. It's misdirected. Let your conscience be your guide. Follow your heart. How many of you have heard that? We hear that a lot these days. To follow your heart. That's also bad advice. Because the Bible says that the heart is deceitful and above all, desperately wicked. Hello, why would you want to follow your heart then? Well, let me give you an illustration and some examples on our conscience, going back to the conscience. Suppose you're a hunter and your dad was a hunter. And your dad taught you good rules of hunting, of when you should kill something and when not to kill something. And you were taught that you never shoot a sitting bird. You never would shoot a deer that's bedded down. And so you've been taught that your whole life. You go out one day and you find a deer that's been bedded down and you just up and shoot him. Your conscience would tell you that was wrong. Even to the fact that you shot that deer knowing that your family is back home and they're hungry, as it would have been back in the days out in the prairie where they hunted for meat and it was essential that they get something to eat. But your conscience was tempered. There's nothing in Scripture that says to not shoot a sitting deer, a laying deer, or a sitting bird. What about if you were under Hitler's regime? These people that were in Hitler's army were conditioned by Hitler. Their conscience was directed and taught by Hitler. For them to allow a Jew to go past them without them doing anything to kill that Jew, to get rid of him. If they would have sat by and allowed a Jew to go past without doing anything, they would have went home that night and their conscience would have bothered them. Because they were conditioned that you do not allow a Jew to live. A Jew is not worthy to live. So what I'm saying in all of this is that to say, let your conscience be your guide, that is okay as long as your conscience has been conditioned by the Word of God. You've been washed by the water of the Word and you're allowing Scripture to infiltrate your life and to fill you and to move you. The other week when I shared, I was in Ephesians 1 and I want to pick up just on kind of a recap on some of those verses for what I want to tell you this morning. Resting in and knowing in the truth. And I won't read there in Ephesians, but it's Ephesians 1, and I want to pick up on several verses. Verse 3, it says that He has blessed us. It talks about praising God. It says He has blessed us. In verse 4, it says He chose us to be holy and blameless. And then it says He chose us in love to be predestined. This is all things that God has done for us, that we could have that joy and that experience with Him and that living hope of eternal life. Verse 7 in Ephesians 1 says, in Him we have redemption. And I would not be taken away from Scripture at all to add in there that in Him and in Him alone we have redemption through His blood. There are not many ways to God, as people would tell you today. There's not this way and this way, and that it all comes together in one road and it leads us to God. We have to be firm on that and unapologetic when we meet people, when the subject comes up. That's the way we can be greater witnesses to Jesus Christ, to say Jesus is the way, He is the truth, He is the life, He is the only way. Verse 12 says, we were chosen for His praise. Verse 15 says, for this reason, Paul, he said ever since he heard about the Ephesian church, their faith in Christ, that he never quit praying for them. He never stopped giving thanks for them. And it says, verse 17, says he keeps asking God. So he's continually asking God to take care of those believers, those young believers. He's also praying in verse 18 that the eyes of their understanding, the eyes of their heart would be enlightened. There's where you can follow your heart. If the eyes of your heart are enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which you've been called. And I think sometimes, brothers and sisters, we have this understanding, we have this hope, but we don't so much know it. And it could be that it's my fault that you don't know it. It could be that it's Junior's fault, or it's Mark's fault, or it's Elvin's fault, because we have not been praying for you, my brothers, my sisters. Paul says he prays that you may, how does he say? I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. Doesn't mean that you're not a believer, but he's praying that you would know why you believe what you believe. And it's something that you can do for your brothers and sisters. And then verse 19 says, and his incomparably great power for us who believe, that power is like the working of his mighty strength. And that work that's going on is the strength that God works through us. It's not mine. Knowing all of that, brothers and sisters, why would you worry? Why would you fret? Why would you fear anything about losing your freedoms in this country? Why would you fret anything about the unknown and what's going on in the world around us? When you know that you know of this hope that you have and that God has promised. Ephesians 2:14 says, for He Himself, Christ Jesus, He Himself is our peace. Anything other than that is not peace. Anything other than that is just some sort of a feel-good type of thing. But Jesus Christ is our peace, and we need to remind ourselves of that. We need to remind each other of that. That in the midst of turmoil, in the midst of strife, in the midst of the world raging, there is peace in the midst of the storm. Ephesians 2:19, he says, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens. And I got news for you this morning. That is not talking about you as an American citizen. It's not saying that you are now no longer a stranger in this country. He is saying you are no longer foreigners or aliens to God, but you are fellow citizens with God's people. You are members of God's household. You dance to the tune of a different drummer. Of course you're going to act different. Of course you're going to think different because you have someone else who is your king. Can we stand up and be proud to raise our Jesus flag? Can we wave it? Can we display it? And whatever that Jesus flag is in your life, whatever you perceive as being that Jesus flag that you can wave, maybe it would be a literal flag, but maybe it's something else in your life that you feel God has called you to do, to make Jesus known. We are strangers and pilgrims. The Bible tells us we are strangers and pilgrims to this world. Hello, remember, we are strangers and pilgrims in this world. But we forget that because we become so rich. We become famous. We become celebrities. I mean, where can you go around here? And when you talk about being a Mennonite, that you're not like, oh, y'all are good people. And that feels good, doesn't it? And I'm not saying that that's wrong in itself. It's nice to have notoriety, to be known. We like that. That feels good. But can we think of ourselves more and more as we grow that we're strangers in this world? We don't fit in here. Whatever this country says, whatever they say we do, we don't really have a whole lot of say in it. How much rights do I have as a Christian? How much do I demand of my country because of the rights that I have? But do we really belong here? Do we really fit in worth anything? Or do we really fit in? And I think sometimes that's where our problem lies, is that we have found how good it feels to just fit in, to just blend in. What rights do I have being in a country? I'm a citizen, but I'm a citizen of a country somewhere else. But I'm in a different country. I'm just biding my time, as it were. Not idly, and we'll go into that just a little bit here quickly. Because of who we are as citizens of a heavenly country, Ephesians 1, there in the second verse, it says, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. That is quite a blessing that is pronounced on us. The grace that comes from God and the peace that comes from God. There is no peace short of that. And we hear that all around us in the world today about peace and making peace and our military going to other countries and trying to create peace. There is no peace, real peace, short of Jesus Christ and Him living and ruling in us. But because we as His people, we have this peace, we can rejoice in that fact that the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ has given Him for us so that we can be the sons and daughters of God. We can be the brother, the sister to Jesus. Have you ever thought of that real much? What that means? That you are a relative of Jesus Christ. You're a close relative of Jesus Christ. When we recognize that, when we experience that truth, when we can live in that truth, that's when we can have complete trust in Him. Period. Even in spite of uncertainty in the world around us, it shouldn't even bother us. It shouldn't affect us. Because we're just here biding our time. We keep busy, we keep active, doing God's will, God's work in our life. But we're not going to get nervous about it. And only as we rest in His truth, in who He is, and the control that He has, which is everything, that's when we can rest in that peace. To not allow yourself to be dragged down by all the bad news around us. It looks hopeless. It looks bad when we hear, we see what's going on in the news. But are we just going to quit? Are we just going to lay down and say, well, the end is near, I'll just wait? No. Let's keep on going. Let's keep on working. Let's get with it. We've got something to shout about. Even to make yourself a fool for the sake of Christ. It's okay. We make ourselves fools in a lot of other areas. And I think it's okay that we even make ourselves fools. And the Bible talks about that, being fools for Christ's sake. People do lots of things to make fools of themselves. I seen something last night. We went down to Hartwell to the redneck dirt track. And two guys wrecked their cars. They got into a fight. And these people went up to the fence and looking and trying to crawl over the fence. And I don't know what connection this one fellow had, but he had some connection with one of the drivers. And he was involved with that. And he was pacing back and forth. And finally, he walks up to a telephone pole and just starts pounding it. And his wife or girlfriend had to drag him away from it to make him quit hurting the pole. And a little bit later, two little boys went up to the pole and they started looking at it and feeling it. And the whole crowd right there in that area could see him. I haven't experienced a whole lot dumber things. I'm sure the pole wasn't really feeling real regretful. But he was involved in emotionalism. Maybe he had a reason and maybe he had a cause that he was promoting, but I don't know what it would have been. But he made a fool out of himself. How much more as believers, people can look at us and say, we're fools. But if they would dare ask us, we have a purpose as to why we do what we do. We have a purpose as to why we don't do what we don't do. Let's get on with the program. Let's shout it out, what God has done for us. 1 Corinthians 15:19 says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. We have hope for eternity. Well, thinking of God's truth and then trusting in His truth, what can we do to be a blessing? Let's look for ways that we can bless others. Job prayed a prayer of blessing on his friends, so-called friends, that just got done talking down on him because they didn't understand him. Can we do that to other people when they come to us and they might even respond wrongly to me without me defending myself, But I would just pray a prayer of blessing on them later. And let them even maybe think what they want to think, but to not defend yourself. Because so many times things are not as they appear. But we want to be sure that people understand exactly what's going on. And I don't think that's so important. But it seems that it's important to us. What can we do to make people look at us and say, what is it about you? And I think as time goes on, that's what needs to be on the forefront of our mind. As to what can you do when you walk up into the restaurant, when you walk up to the gas station, that somebody, if they would be watching you, they would look at you, a question would come in their mind that there's something going on with this person. What is it? And that you would do what you could to give opportunity for people to ask those kind of questions. The most easy time is to witness when someone comes to you and says, ask you a direct question, say, well, what is it about you, or what do you think of salvation? I mean, if that would be the case, always, every one of us, I think it would be pretty simple to witness for Christ. So what I'm saying is, what can you do as you process your thoughts to make people ask you questions that would lead into conversations regarding why you do what you do and who you're serving? 1 Peter 2:1, and I referred to this in the other Sunday too, says, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world. And he says to abstain from sinful desires. And verse 12 says, live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day that he visits you. People can talk bad about you, but they don't know why they're talking bad about you. Now that's frustrating for someone. But that's what we can do as believers. Stop and give consideration today for this week what you can do to bless someone verbally or by your actions. Maybe by your prayers. We've seen here where Paul, he was constantly praying, and then he would even add on to that, that, and I also pray that you would be enlightened. And as you think about it, and as you ponder this, God will give you instances that you can be a blessing. I had to think of one on Friday. I was going through Due West in the afternoon, and I knew there was a couple Kenyans going to seminary there. And I seen this one black guy. He was just right in front of the seminary. He just crossed the road. And thank God that you have electric windows. And I quick put down a pastor's side. And I just as he was there, I just hollered out. And I wasn't 100% sure it was a Kenyan, but I thought it might be. And if it wouldn't have been, it'd been okay, because they wouldn't have known anything. But I just hollered out, bonus a feeway. And I kid you not, he turned and he looked to see where this sound was coming from. And I kept looking. He was just standing there, just watching my truck. And that's the phrase I learned when I was in Africa. It's praise the Lord. But I would have loved to have just seen his mind as to what he was thinking at that point. Because you know how it is when you go to a foreign country and someone comes up and starts talking English to you. It's like, wow, that's somebody of my own people. And all of that happened in just a matter of, I had about 3 seconds to think through that. But we can make people's days by small things that we do for them. But I think as we get up in the morning, that we would pray, God, show me today where I can bless someone else, where I can be a blessing to my brother or my sister. Then live your life with a plan, that you're very deliberate in what you do. Then here's another one. I've shared this one already before, but if you really want to be courageous, ask someone to watch you and how you live your life and then to give you some criticism on it and what you should change and how you conduct yourself. Maybe how you're coming across to people and you don't even think that's the way you're coming across to people. We all need that. Because we all say things sometimes that we don't think we said. But if you give someone permission to speak into your life, when they do, and it doesn't feel good, but it feels a lot better when you hear that, even though it's like it hits you a little bit, but it makes you feel better because, you know what? I asked for it. I told him or her to come talk to me and to watch me and to see how I do and then respond to me. We have hard times, dark days. Hopelessness is all around us. But I think for us as a believer, as sons and daughters, as brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ, these should be days of much joy. Because people are going to be more receptive to hearing some good news. Are you willing to share it? We can look up, for our redemption is drawing nigh. Have you found perfect freedom in God's truth? Then trust in His truth, and then you can bless others because of the trust that you have in God's truth. As we live our lives day by day, the next week, in our Sunday school lesson, it said that we should consider ways that we can spur each other on. You are to give consideration. And that's what Paul was saying here in Ephesians, that he prayed specifically for the believers. Pick someone out this week you're going to pray for. Maybe someone, and you don't even have to tell them, but someone that you maybe know facing a certain struggle, and you just pray that God would carry them through that. You make it your mission to do that, even just for 1 week, and see what God will do. Let's continue on serving Him, even as our redemption draws nigh. Shall we stand for closing prayer? Father in heaven, this morning we thank you for blessing us and for caring for us. Lord, would you move us to be deliberate in the way we live our lives? God, would you help us to honor you through the way we live? God, would you help us to be an encouragement that we would not live our lives to see what we can get for ourselves, but that we would live our lives in such a way that we would look out for the needs of others, and especially of those who are our brothers and sisters in Christ. Be with us as we leave from here. Would you keep us in your care? God, also, I just pray a blessing and your peace upon Harry Brenneman's family, his wife Arlene, and each one of the children and grandchildren. God, would you care for them this afternoon as they go through this time of remembering his life, a time of grieving. Give them your peace. Make your name be magnified even through this circumstance that they're going through. Thank you again for being our God and our Savior. Would you dismiss us with your blessing? In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Thank you. Y'all are dismissed.